This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, happy Sunday and welcome to Soap from the Box, a TV Stars special. It's the last week of season two. You can listen to Sherry Hewson and Nathan Sussex right now. But who didn't binge watch Married at First Sight Australia over lockdown? If you did, you're going to love this. Welcome to my first TV guest star. He's been in more houses than probably he's been on dates. He was a fix during lockdown when 2019 season six of Married at First Sight Australia trended, topped the charts and had the world talking. Welcome all the way from Australia, Mike Gunner. Hello, mate.
Hey, how you doing? Good to meet you, Lee.
Good to meet you. So, yeah, I mean, we were just talking before now. This was probably really unexpected of you. You enter a show, a reality show. I mean, some of them work, some of them don't. Some of them are big, but this has gone like worldwide crazy.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, look, it wasn't, I anticipated some amount of notoriety, but to think that it would be playing in England amongst other countries in Europe and around the world, I mean, that was something I couldn't have imagined. So, but it's been mostly positive feedback. Not all of it, but a lot of it. So, yeah, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, and obviously my podcast, Soap from the Box, is Soap Stars, but it really has been a real-life soap. I mean, it kind of was a soap. It's what you expect from a soap. The drama, you know, the laughs, the tears, the characters in there. It kind of was a real-life soap.
Well, I suppose, yeah, you could draw a few similarities between the two, couldn't you? Like you mentioned, I mean, it had all the elements there and... I'm not sure if they set out, well, they must have. I mean, the television production company must have wanted those things to be part of the production, but maybe they got more than what they expected for that particular season. I know that everybody was in raptures about it. So I guess they did a good job and made something like a soap.
Yeah, I mean, from a TV background, they did do a good job. So what we'll do is we'll dive straight in with the couples. And I've gone for the original couples, not the ones who came in later, the original crew, just to see where they are. I mean, so first of all, obviously, you and Heidi, who were both a brilliant couple. I mean, Heidi was so great as well. You both, and it looked like you were going to be together. And because you moved to the Gold Coast together, and then it obviously ended, as relationships do, but... was it a good feeling at first? Like, you seemed to be ecstatic when she walked down the aisle.
Well, I was. Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, this is a beautiful woman. And you don't know. You've built yourself up to that moment. And you have, I mean, a lot of people ask, you know, did you really not know who this was? I promise you, you didn't. So that moment when you turn around, the relief was immediate. Yeah. I thought, well... I mean, honestly, it takes about 2 seconds to look at someone to decide, all right, am I going to be, well, attracted to them? Because remember, she's still 40 meters away or something. So I get a full profile. I couldn't hear her, obviously. She was a bit far away before we could talk. But I saw her and I thought, I like what she looks like. So that's
number
a tick.
One.
That's a ticked box right there, exactly. And then when she sort of walked down the aisle, you know, she was all very amiable and congenial with everybody and full of positive energy and big smile and everything. So I thought, well, here we go. You know, that's something. So that's a start at the very least.
Yeah, and when, so, I mean, you saying that, it is looks, obviously, for all of us, we say it's personality, of course it's personality as well, but it is looks, and but it can be little things like the voice and like the, but it seemed at the meal that you first had, there was that instant bond with everything. You seem to have the same sense of humour, the same personality, so they did, because how much research, and again, TV-wise, I come from a TV background, so I kind of know the tricks, but also, did they do quite in-depth research with you? Do you know what I mean? Did you feel like they knew your perfect partner?
Look, there's probably no, it's not an exacting science, right? They, of course, you know, they ask you a bunch of questions and a lot. I mean, pages.
I was going to say a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah. It's not just a list of, you know, what color hair do you like or eye color. I mean, it's everything. It's just, it's very analytical. And a lot of it was about really appearance, but also, you know, personality as well. You know, do you like someone that's a little bit outspoken or maybe someone that's a little bit more introverted. So those fundamentals about a person's character, you know, they wanted to know your preference on that. But and you're answering these questions thinking, well, how are you going to find all this?
I mean,
you can't just chuck it all in it. Yeah, you're going to have, you might have some things but not others as well. I mean, they did have a lot of people that had applied. And so of those applicants, you thought, well, you know, it's got to be someone between 35 and 45, let's say. And the more you thought about it, I almost thought, she's like, you just don't know who's going to walk down there. And you don't know what they wanted out of you as well. And I'm thinking, geez, have I got the thing? What about if she doesn't like a guy without hair? And like you said, with the voice, I mean, if somebody starts talking to you and you're not particularly thrilled to hear what they have to say or how they say it, I mean, that can become quickly, you know, you can become unstuck.
Yeah. And so it also seemed that you are a really confident guy, obviously, but you could tell how nerve-wracked you were at the front of the aisle. I mean, I still can't believe people do it. I can understand people doing it because it is like dating is so hard these days and you get so bored of it, I suppose, especially with even though it's become easier to date, I think that's made it even worse for some reason. So, but like you said, I bet a lot of it was her liking you, because I think a lot of us in life, when we go on dates and stuff, you're kind of going, amazing, I like them. But most then your attention turns to like, oh no, what about me?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's something you needed to consider, because you need to consider that. I think a lot of people go into, like you said, they go into a date thinking, oh, you know, is he going to have this or is she going to have that? What have you got? What do you bring to the table? And I think sometimes you go on a date and you might really like that person and they may not like you. And actually, that's
more
difficult
cutting.
To get your head around.
That's worse, isn't it?
Because you think you're perfect. Oh, you know, she's going to like me for sure. But when they don't, you're like, hang on a second. What happened there?
Yeah. So, okay, let's move on. Cam and Jules, who obviously you could see again, love at first sight when they walked down the aisle. Gorgeous couple.
Yeah.
Me and my part absolutely loved both of them. Her, it was like, it was a dream made in heaven. But it almost seems like, I know me, for instance, and this is showing, I suppose, why the show's successful, I kind of got, they're not the ones you wanted to see. Do you know what I mean? So actually, I'm a program maker. You don't really want that. It's great to have a success story, but actually people, it just shows the viewers and what they expect and what they want, which is probably quite a bad sign of our culture, that the people that were really in love were not the ones we wanted to watch.
Right, yeah, they want to see a train wreck. They want to see, you know, Inez abusing Bronson and some cheating and some fighting and things. If you had a dozen couples like Cam and Jules, nobody would watch it.
No, you're right,
They're lovely. Yeah, I mean, they're good friends of mine and they're such a sweet couple. But, I mean, I suppose there was another couple that came out at the other end of it and are still together. But, I think you needed a Cam and Jules story in amongst all that mayhem, because or else if it was just all pandemonium, it's like, well, this experiment is just
it doesn't work. Yeah.
Right.
And they've had a baby since, like you said, you're still friends. Is it nice to have gone in, not only because I think like loves of our lives are amazing, but friends in our life are just as important. Is it amazing to come out with those great friendships as well?
Yes, it is, definitely. You know, but you got to remember that I'm not friends with all of them. No. It's which is just a shame. It's so silly. You know, you think about we should. It's such a unique experience, and we should be able to share that between ourselves. You know, forever. And they we should all be friends. But it didn't work out that way. It didn't take long either after the cameras stopped rolling, and there was just all this animosity that existed between people, and some fallings out, and a lot of bitching, and. Of course, anyone puts anything on social media or speaks in the media, for that matter, in mainstream media, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So now that you're airing your dirty laundry with people, and it's just it was an unnecessary stress that was just so unnecessary and so petty a lot of the time, and a real shame.
And I mean, over here, say reality shows, Love Island is huge over here, and Big Brother used to be absolutely huge over here. And there was obviously, I mean, I would point out, say, Jessica and Mick, he thought quite early on she was in it for the fame. And you have that level of people. I mean, when Big Brother started here, I think it was amazing because it was a social experiment. No one thought they were going to be big stars. And I think probably in Married at First Sight, like, I don't know what it was like there, especially here. No one from series before had become big social media stars. So do you think there were people in it? You don't need to know them. Do you think there were people in it who were there basically knowing they might get this big social media following and
fame? Yes. Yeah. You could see. I mean, they were just insincere. And probably more were than weren't, as far as, you know, sincere and genuinely thought, well, I'd like to meet someone. But I've said this before. I mean, it should really be for people over 35. I mean, if you've come to an age where, I mean, I was in my 40s, you know, I'd sort of struck out on love for many, many years. But if you're 25, 26, you don't need maths to meet someone. You can go on Tinder or you can go into a bar. I mean, so I felt like the younger participants were less sincere. And of course, you know, as soon as it's finished, they've got huge following and they're off advertising skincare and tooth whitening and protein powder. I mean, it's like, really, what is that what you did this for? And I think you lose a bit of respect for them that way.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame because reality TV can be really good and this experiment can be really good. So Jessica and Mick, obviously, they are not together. Martha and Michael are together and they seem to be a good match. But again, for me as a viewer, they seem to be a good match, but also seem to know what they were doing reality-wise. Do you know what I mean? Especially Martha, I think.
Yeah.
And again, did you go in?
Yeah, well,
is it easy to see someone doing that, like, oh, you're playing that, oh, now you're saying this and now you're doing that?
Yeah. No, it's not. You could have your suspicions and, of course, you're not going to make an accusation like that, but I could tell that they're acting. Honestly, I don't mean to shit on people in this series, but you could see when people were just not being real. Like off camera, they were a certain way, and then when the cameras roll, they were just different. They were more reserved and more considered when they spoke. And you just thought, hang on, a minute ago you were having so much fun and you were really quirky or kind of naughty with, you know, some of the guys were just like hilarious and had a lot of innuendo on that. But then when the cameras roll, they're all on their best behavior. It's like, what are you doing? Come on, like trying to create a persona or something. I was aware of that, but you're not aware of the full depth of it until I think it's done and you see how they react to their fame and how they use it to, you know, to get themselves to become influencers or whatever it might be. I think that's when you sort of think, oh, okay, so you were, you know, just in like it for that.
And also because you must watch it, you didn't see all the bits of when they're alone either. So you must be watching it when it first went out. Was that the first time you'd seen a lot of the material of the other couples?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you see them we saw them at dinner parties and the commitment ceremonies and sometimes around where we live because we all live in the same apartment. But you weren't meant to talk to people as well. That was the rule. You know, if you had a conversation, there had to be a camera rolling because you could talk about something that was critical to a story or a spicy moment. And so you had to just hang on to it until, you're in front of a camera. But, and they do a lot of their filming indoors in their apartments or at some park or, I don't know, at a movie or a beach or something. So you didn't see it. And then when it's all rolling back, you could, you know, for example, I remember Bronson coming to the first, we met for the first time at the Bucks night. You know, he's such a nice bloke, and all the guys. I mean, we sort of made a commitment early on. You know, we'd be supportive of one another, and I said to them, I said, look, fellas, this is going to be difficult enough. You know, the last thing we need is to be bitching about one another behind each other's back. Let's all just be there for one another and support. And we stuck to that commitment. And so when Bronson came back to the first dinner party where we got to meet again, and I met, you know, we met everyone's wives for the first time. I said, oh, how did it go, mate? How was your wedding? He's just like, oh, my God, you got no idea, Mike. It was bloody mayhem. And I said, oh, really? And I'd met Innes, and she was quite, you know, she's a slight girl, and she was pretty well-behaved and well-mannered when I first, and I said, really? That girl, like, she seems lovely. He goes, no, you got no idea. And I remember watching it back going, oh, now I see what he was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, she was, I mean, again, and it's a mad sign about culture, and I'm saying this because I know this is what the fans always think. It's like she was probably the star of the show, which is crazy in one way because of what she was like. In a way, I respect her that she didn't beat around the bush about anything. And I do think they were probably totally mismatched in a way, unless she put on a total different front to producers. Because you think there's no way these two are going to get on. He was like seemingly the nicest person in the world. And she was like this, you know, almost that.
She's a nightmare.
Yeah. Total nightmare, but kind of I did respect at least. That my favourite part, one of the favourite bits of the series, was when she was sat with the girls and she was like, how long is this going to go on? You're all just boring me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Which I know a lot of us would like to say in some situations. Do you know what I mean? So, but do you think she went in, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because you can see why they cast her, but that in a way you go, well, that relationship shows that it's being made for one reason.
Yeah. Right.
Because apparently she's coming here to do reality TV, which I think the nation is hoping for. I know. Yeah.
Are you really? You don't want that, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. She's not all there. And look, that comes from a place of love. I mean it. Like, I don't want to see anyone struggling in life, but I'm telling you, she needs help.
Yes. There's a lot of people actually. And in our mental health awareness world now, I do think people like that, I mean, need psych testing, because it's happened over here quite recently. Someone's died of anorexia, a Big Brother star, Nikki.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there. Do you know what I mean? In all that. And I'm saying that, like you said, not in a detrimental way, in a kind of like, you shouldn't be put on telly when you're like that.
No, that's right. And it's the trolling as well that comes with it. I mean, everyone's got an opinion. And you know, she was hauled over the coals for her behaviour. I mean, I know that in England, you know, we have different, we definitely have a different sense of humor, different sensibilities as well. And I know the English were outraged by her, but Australians were just, I mean, they were flabbergasted and she got trolled heavily. But the problem is that it's very difficult for someone to cope with all of that negative criticism, and she didn't cope well at all, you know. And so I can only imagine she's going to go through all that again if she did do something in England. So I don't know, mate.
It's hard, isn't it? Because what would you be your... I mean, obviously now...
You can have her.
We can have her. I think we kind of... But I mean, I wouldn't want to see her on telly, but you kind of see that in Big Brother. I mean, living in a house with people, my God. But it must be like... So you're in that position now that you could probably get offered a lot of money, say, to do Big Brother over here, whatever. Is it a hard thing? Does it get... That's my question for her, is like, can that money over... Do you know what I mean? Does it overrule your head? Is it weirder for you now, probably being offered stuff that you wouldn't be offered before, and being like, well, is that whoring myself out? Is that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, you've worked in television. It's cutthroat. And there's so many other platforms and forms of media, you know, to grab people's attention. And people have got less attention spans than they ever did. So, you know, you're looking to grab that attention as quickly as you can. And someone like her, she'll do that. She'll get that for you. But it's at whose expense? I mean, I just don't think she's well level-headed enough or well-adjusted enough to cope with what would be coming her way if she went to. Now, I'm not. Look, it sounds like I'm picking on her. I guess I'm just. She's just.
No, you're saying it out of a place for concern as well, because I think it's a big thing.
Well, it is.
Like
it
over here, Love Island,
how people are exploited.
Yeah, Love Island over here, we've had quite a few suicides from Love Island. Yeah, it still continues. Right. To be a huge program.
Oh, buddy, look, I was a tradesman for 26 years, right? And in fact, I lived in England for a couple of years and worked up there as well, and had a ball. But I can tell you that, you know, I remember there was a scene that played out, you know, that scene on the beach, the I'm not your therapist scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched that back and just, and I'm a well-adjusted person, I would think, you know, probably as much as anyone. And I almost went white on my couch watching that going, I am going to get my ass kicked for this. and I did. And I'll tell you, I struggled to cope. Some of these younger people in their I mean, they haven't got the mental faculties to be able to sustain that kind of criticism. And anyway, look.
No, you're right. And so actors over here, I feel the same, and we talk about this a lot on the podcast. When you're young, how do you suddenly adjust 16, 17 to being in? You know, our soaps are the biggest shows over here. You know, they could be watched in the heyday of 26 million people. How do you cope for being nothing as an actor to that? And then it goes, and like reality stars as well, it does go. So like you said, I think you just need to be older and adjusted to even have a chance of coping with what you get.
Well, okay, you look at an actor, right, a young actor, and even a teen actor. The thing is, there's fame that comes with that. There's maybe a bit of fortune, but it's generally always something good.
Yeah.
There might be some people that didn't like your performance. You might have a critic that wasn't a fan of the way you played your role. But with something reality television, I mean, they're attacking you personally.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a character you're playing. This is who you are. So, you know, you've got to consider that also. People get to know you intimately. And they understand your thinking and your behavior. And so that's what's on display for the world to see. And that's what's being criticized. And it's very confronting. I can promise you that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. And it is something we should be looking into really as a culture. Again, it's good to talk about these things. So the other one was Lauren and Matthew. Now, again, that's freaked me out since the beginning, because I think, again, if you're a virgin, why would you go, my God, why would you go on a show like that? But he seems to have come out of it again, I question whether he was, because I just think, my God, A, I don't understand how you could, and B, then to suddenly become this new person. I don't know. Does that process, did you, and then obviously what was bizarre is that she then unleashed her, you know, the sexual thing she liked, which seemed to be so adverse to what he was there for. And that couple to me, as much as I love the show and as much as I think loads of it was, that couple to me seemed to be
the very contrived,
ungenuine thing about the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I don't know how I feel like those two might have been a bit disingenuous. By all accounts, Matthew as the virgin, you know, he was an actor and a very good one in school. Right. Whether or not he was trying to launch an acting career. I mean, all I know is that I've seen him online now and he's a completely different guy.
Pictures, everything, yeah.
I mean, you know, he speaks differently as in he's so confident. I mean, he's doing photos in his underwear. He's off, you know, he's met another girl. He's traveling the world. He's having a ball. This guy was meek and mild. I mean, you couldn't talk to him. You couldn't get a word out of him. And then 6 months later, he's off. And I'm thinking, I've never seen that kind of a transformation in someone. Maybe it's the experiment that's helped him. Perhaps it
and
is.
And again, in a really serious form, I think it's people like that that we should be not questioning, but like Innes has been out there. But I think at least she's genuine that she's probably a nutter, but she's genuinely a nutter. Whereas him, you go, they're the more worrying people because you go, right, are we allowing that to happen? Do you know what I mean? And we shouldn't be showing that to younger people who might be like he was supposedly. And, you know, because does that transformation happen? That is an experiment, isn't it? So does it work? And that's what needs to be looked in more, I think, because that's what it should be, an experiment.
As much as anything else, I mean, the audience, you know, they're investing their time and they're invested emotionally. I mean, you've got to, I suppose it's going to be difficult to cast people that are interesting, that are confident enough to be in front of camera for those lengths of time and in those situations. So you are probably going to attract a more theatrical, animated kind of person. And so are you necessarily going to have people who are more sincere? I mean, it's probably a very difficult thing to find the right mix. But I think you have to go into being honest and genuine because you owe that to the people that are investing their time in getting to know you. If you're not being who you really are, then you're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, true. And that's, I suppose, half of the casting producers, because if you're not who you really are in the forwarding sessions before the show, then you're a bit stuck. Like Melissa and Dina, again, And there's nothing wrong with being gay. I'm gay. But I mean, it seemed like he just wasn't, you know, into women, which again seemed quite bizarre. So not bizarre that he wasn't into women, bizarre that they kind of allowed that time without exploring it, maybe, when it was quite obvious to me.
Yeah, it's a funny one. That, and, you know, Dino, I don't know. Look, I don't think he's gay. I don't think he's gay. Okay. And he's the nicest bloke in the world. And he's so zen and so calm and such an easygoing fellow. What you see is what you get with him. He was exactly like that off-camera as he was on. But, you know, even Dino, I mean, he does, you know, runway modelling and he's done TV ads and things, you know. So he's got that level of confidence. It didn't really come through, did it, on camera? He seemed very, very mild. But I felt like he was being himself. She's a bit nuts.
Again, a weird partnership.
But she wasn't a fan of mine, I'll tell you.
But that's what I was going to ask. So we'll go off the couples. Did they, you know, that first dinner, I mean, you, as we said, and it sounds awful saying lucked out because everyone's got their own qualities, but did you walk into that dinner and were people like, and this obviously was going, oh God, I wish I had them. Was that level on that first dinner?
Look, no. Do you know what? In honesty, I imagined that as well. Like, I thought, oh, I wonder if someone's going to be looking at my wife thinking, I wish I had her instead of this bird. No, I didn't feel that. That wouldn't have worked, you know, because I think you would have sensed it and picked it up. If it was, I wasn't aware of it. And I wasn't, you know, looking sideways either. I think that everybody felt like they were pretty satisfied with their match, you know. Maybe they weren't. They definitely weren't.
I think you would sense that. So that's good. And that does show at least that everyone was at the beginning up for the experiment, I suppose. And maybe they were matched all right at the beginning. I mean, I can't believe Bronson didn't just go, I'm out of here. But poor guy.
Okay, yeah. Well, that was one that he was just like, this girl is not for me. And it really surprised me. I think he wrote stay after the second week or something. So I'm willing to give it a go. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Like, there's no, you can't save this. This thing is dead in the water, mate. She's treated you this way. Like, and remember, I hadn't seen any of the stuff that had happened.
You didn't even know. So you guys didn't even know the extent of it.
I only saw the stuff that she'd said to him at the first dinner party, and that it was the first commitment ceremony when she really started up on him on the couch. And I think I was sitting next to Mick, or I looked over at Mick and I just looked at him with this just thousand-yard stare like, what are we watching? This girl is just next level. How can you speak to this guy and he's meant to be a husband? Unbelievable.
I know, it's quite weird because when you're watching on telly, it's very different. I mean, I've done one reality show I series produced, and I went on a couple of the shoots. And, I mean, it was – watching on telly is very different than, like, sat on their lounge floor while they're having this humongous argument and you're just sat there going, oh, my God. God, you want to do, because it feels so wrong that you're there. You want to step in and try to help, but you can't. So you're there just going, this is horrendous. Like, my God, what am I doing? I only did that one reality show. And then I went back to doing drama where you could direct. But okay, so we'll just go behind the headlines. Just these things that I've researched and read about you. So you were an electrician. You're now a tattoo artist, which is amazing. Has that come from the show or had you already like changed jobs?
No, I'd sort of started around the time when the show was being aired, and I'd thought for a long time about, you know, packing up the tools and doing something different, and then I'd had the treatment done. You know, it's a tattoo of your head.
Yeah, which like I saw online. It's amazing. I didn't realize you could have that done. Yeah.
And now I'm a practitioner. I do it. In fact, I teach it, and I'll be in England in hopefully in October.
Oh, amazing! Where are you coming to?
To Devon.
Oh, Devon. Amazing.
Of all places. Like, I'm going to go all around, but the studio that reached out and said, hey, you want to come and spend some time and do some teaching was in Devon, and they were the first to offer it. And I said, okay, fair enough. But you talk about, these girls coming over there to do reality television. I haven't been offered any of that stuff. Like, no.
Oh, well, mate, we need to put it out there. We can do one. I can give you a lowdown on the nice ones to do. You need to do like a Strictly Come Dancing, which is, do you have Dancing with the Stars, do you, or is that America? Do you have?
Yeah, we have Dancing with the Stars.
Can you dance?
Oh, have you ever heard of Fred Astaire?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Nothing like him.
So how does the hair thing work anyway? I'm intrigued by the hair thing. So what is the process? What do you do? Is it just tattoo, basically?
Yeah, buddy, it's a tattoo. Well, it's probably 20,000 individual little dots, and it replicates. Yeah, replicates your hair.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
and, I believe. And so what's your business called? Give it a shout out. Where can people find details of you?
I've got a Facebook. Obviously, you could shout it out all you want, but I can only do people in Australia.
Yeah,
unless
people want to pre-book you for Devon.
Well, do you know, it's funny, there are heaps of people from England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales that are like, when are you coming over? I want it done. I could literally live in England, I reckon, for years and just do one treatment after another. But I got bigger plans in life. I'm working in radio here in Australia in a little radio station called Juice FM. And that's my intention is to change career again into radio.
Oh, well, there we go, mate. We're the same here. I'm doing at the moment. Yeah, I'm loving doing radio. It's great. I'm loving speaking.
Yeah. Life,
especially after lockdown. And what I've loved is researching. I've got loads of mates who are actors and just having the time to, it's almost really lethargic talking to people like this and actually talking, you know, like it's different than going out for a drink or just talking about what's been happening.
Absolutely.
You kind of talk about things and in a different way. I love it.
Yeah.
You've got the face. I mean, you haven't got the face of radio, so you should be out there on telly.
Do you know? I'll tell you something. Let me tell you a depressing story.
Okay, lovely.
I shouldn't have opened with that. I got asked to do a television show, to host a television show in the United States, actually, right as Corona was or COVID was starting to pick up around July last year. And then travel restrictions sort of came in place. And then it was just scrapped because it was going to be too difficult to shoot it. That would have been something. You know, it would have been a lot of fun to be part of that. But, these things happen. And who knows, something might come in the future. But, was it my intention to get into, you know, the entertainment world? No. I do enjoy a chat. I will say that. And I do, I enjoy podcasting with people and just shooting the breeze. I do a live Instagram from time to time where we do a trivia and people seem to really enjoy that. So, I don't know. I felt like that my path was always leading down toward either radio or sort of continuing podcasting.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, well, mate.
Yeah.
You'll do really well over here. So we'll have to speak more and get you some things. Now, you're with a new girlfriend, I think, Sonia. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes?
Yep. She's in the next room. She's in her little office right now.
Oh, wow. I will say hi to her and say, is it true you met on Bumble?
Yes. Can you imagine this?
I know. Well, I can't imagine you on a dating app. You must have been like Mr. You must have been, I don't know what you do on Bumble because I've been married for years. I've not, but do you swipe? You must have been like a, people must be going, oh my God, it's him. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? To girls go, oh.
A bad thing. It was a bad thing.
Right, yeah.
Look, do not do TV if you think it's going to make you, well, I suppose it depends how you come off. I got pretty harshly judged here in Australia, not by everyone. I have a lot of people that are fans, genuinely think, you know, Mike, we just think you're great, but others think, as much as people are fans, I've got people that are the antithesis of that. You know, they don't like me at all. And it, honestly, my skin has grown so thick from some of the criticisms. It's like, look, well, at least you love me for me or you hate me for me.
Exactly.
Because
I've always said that. If you like me for me, you know the real me. And I don't think you did come off.
Right.
I think, yeah, different people's actions you can say about that situation, like we all can. But I think genuinely you came across, which is why I got in contact with you, as one of the most genuine people on there. Do you know what I mean? So
thanks,
and
man.
No one's perfect either. So we can all judge like that little conversation on the beach. But, you know, it's like it's just one conversation. Do you know what I mean? You can't judge.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, those things can be, you know, yeah, it's just a conversation. You know what? I relate it to things that I've done in the past. God, some of the things, or some of the conversation you go, and then it spirals, and you make it, you kind of know you're making it worse. Do you know what I mean? But you're like, ah.
You're like, at this point, I'm so far deep in this, I'm just going to go with it. Like, honestly, buddy, I only wish there was someone, I'd love to have the original video of that conversation on the beach, because it was a very one-sided affair the way it was edited.
Of course, yeah.
I apologized for it. It was bad form. I should have just.
You did. My favorite actually was going on to the boat to apologize. It was kind of the worst apology ever. But I mean, that one, because it was kind of like she came out and then you were like, well, I'm not really sorry. Because I mean, to be honest, you were very different like that. I mean, as we know, I always say girls like to talk about everything. And again, it's a bit, you know, you don't want to go that in depth that early. So I'm on both sides.
I mean, well, like, can I be honest with you, Lee? Look, I'll tell you something. I don't mind someone going that deep. I really don't. I'm okay with it. In fact, I'm a good listener. And I've said this before, and I'm happy to hear your story. Absolutely. Men are problem solvers, all right? And I've actually gotten in trouble for saying that, believe it or not. I don't know why. I thought that was like a household expression. You know, men are problem solvers.
Yeah.
We hear a problem and we want to offer a solution.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd heard that story. And the bit you didn't see was me hearing it over and over and offering solutions and,
right,
and
yes.
support and encouragement. You saw none of that. So when none of that was working and it was just falling on deaf ears, I think I lost patience and I became frustrated. Yeah. And went, you know what? If you're not going to listen to me, then, I mean, I've got my problems too, you know?
And that happened. I remember there's a big, awful, famous thing on Big Brother, a celebrity Big Brother, where the whole hour's show, and this hour's show every night would be edited of 24 hours worth of stuff. And they chose,
right,
you know, like a one conversation that made this one girl look horrendously bad, but made that whole show, that made it look like it had lasted and gone on for ages. And you know, there was a girl from S Club 7 who nearly committed suicide because of that and everything. And you go, TV producers still need to be held responsible for making sure they give a fair portrayal, because it isn't just about the way things. But so anyway, right, we will end the podcast with a quick fire round of questions. So people who didn't know you, so favorite drink.
Alcoholic, you mean?
Yeah, any. Well, any. I mean, mine would be alcoholic.
Do you guys say, well, I okay, favorite drink in general? I drink a lot of tea. I love tea. English breakfast or maybe a Earl Grey. But favorite drink, alcoholic, it changes. I like champagne. I'm not afraid to say it. I love champagne.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I don't like champagne. Just doesn't agree with me. Vodka's my drink. We did. I did a neighbours podcast, and we were comparing England because our favourite, because the most popular food in Australia is a chicken parma, which you
is remember. It?
Yeah, that's the most popular food. Whereas ours is a Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, okay.
I can remember.
We don't call it a parma. We call it a parmy.
A parmy. Sorry, yeah, chicken parmy, which is much better. Do you know? I can remember some of these because it was Lucas, this guy from Home and Away, and we had such a laugh. Do you know what your biggest tourist attraction is?
The Great Barrier Reef?
Oh, no, it's the Great Ocean Road.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, whereas ours is the Tower. Ours is the Tower of London, where people got sent to their death. Like,
imagine that.
We're a very different country. Blonde or brunette?
Neither, man. I don't have a preference.
Yeah, good. I'm going to say, that's good. Cinema or clubbing?
Cinema.
Oh, let's see. We're showing our age now. Your favourite?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think so. I always said I would go clubbing until I'm like 55 when I was young. I was like, I'll never grow out of it. You do grow out of it because you just feel really old.
That's true.
Favorite part of Australia?
Well, let me tell you something. Where I live in Queensland, I think is the most beautiful. I'm sure there are places that are as beautiful or possibly even more so than this, but I love the weather here. I think the people are lovely. You know, it's the climate, the beaches, the environment. So Queensland. I'm from Sydney. It's a cool city, but to live Queensland, Gold Coast, Australia.
Yeah, I thought I would love Sydney the best, and I loved Queensland the best. I was blown away by Queensland.
Okay.
Sydney, for some reason, reminded me.
Where are you from in England, by the way?
I'm from Sussex. So I haven't really got an accent. So,
okay,
I'm kind of like a bit of a. I'm now live up north in Leeds, so I've not adapted a Yorkshire accent at all. So yeah, got a bit of a.
You know, I've been to Yorkshire.
Oh, have you? Where in Yorkshire? Leeds?
No, York itself,
which is amazing. We're about half an hour from York, where we are.
Okay, you know, I went up there with about a dozen other Australians when I was living as a backpacker in London, and we were on our way back down from Newcastle. We went to Newcastle for a week. I'm like, God, Newcastle,
wow, yeah. Yeah.
Went to a place called Whitley Bay.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah. And that, well, there's the big market, which is where everyone goes out. And I did a holiday film that I used to work on a travel series. And Jay Midimus, who's a big presenter here, she's from Newcastle. And we literally had to jump in a cab and go, drive, drive, because we were about to get, I mean, hundreds of people just getting their bums out. And it was, it can be a scary place, Newcastle. Loads of love to everyone in Newcastle watching this.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, I remember I went to a nightclub on a boat called the Tuxedo Princess.
Wow.
It was parked right underneath your little Sydney Opera House, Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Oh, yes.
And it had a revolving dance. Was it a revolving dance floor or a bouncing? Something about the dance floor. I think it was a bouncing dance floor.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
and on our way back, we were on the wrong train, because in Australia, if you're going in that direction, you just get on any train that goes that way. But in England, apparently, we're on the wrong train. They said, you have to get off in York. So we got off in York and we spent the day, a dozen young Australian guys just on it, straight to the pub, ended up at the York Minster.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we were full of it. can you imagine this? I think your bishop might have come out and asked us to personally leave.
It's a very quiet, refined place, York, in the Minster especially.
Not when we were there.
No, you can get a train up north, but that could go to Scotland. You just can't grab on the train. Well, mate, it's been amazing for you as a guest. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're very welcome.
And good luck. And we'll hook up when you come to England.
Yes, definitely.
See amazing. You soon. Thank you, mate. Thanks so much to Mike Gunner for joining me on the very first TV Stars special. It was amazing to get the gossip of Married at First Sight Australia. If you haven't watched it and you've enjoyed that interview, you must watch it now. Remember, it's the last week of season 2 of Soap in the Box. There are 2 episodes to listen to right now with Coronation Street star, Carry On legend, Sherry Hewson, and Benidorm, of course, and It's a Sin and Hollyoaks star, Nathan Sussex. Thanks again for joining me this season. It's been amazing. There will be more TV Stars specials in the gap between now and season 3. I would like to shout out to David Stevens and the Bothy for their edit and technical wizardry, and to Ian McCallum for all of his press help. And remember, it's been announced over the weekend, Soap from the Box Live is coming to a theatre near you. We're starting in Leeds on the 27th and 28th of June. You can book your tickets later in the week. Please come and join me and some of your biggest favourite soap stars there. Stay safe, enjoy the sun, everyone, and see you soon.